And if you would turn and face me, please, and raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that the testimony you'll provide today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right, you may put your hand down. I'd like to get a sound check of your voice. You can move this microphone so that it's comfortable for you to speak right in the middle of it. Please tell your name to the members of the jury and spell your first and last name, please.
Brandon Marshall, B-R-A-N-D-O-N-M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L.
Thank you. Mr. Twining.
Good afternoon, sir. How old are you?
25.
And what is it you do for a living?
Play football.
For?
The Denver Broncos.
How long have you been doing that?
4 years.
Where are you from, originally?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And did you grow up in Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh and Florida.
Yeah, while living in Pittsburgh and Florida, what kind of neighborhoods did you live in?
Some would call it the ghetto. Hood, rough neighborhood.
Growing up in those rough neighborhoods, did you have occasion to have any experiences with gang members?
Yeah, I was surrounded by it.
I want to take you from the hood to New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2006, in the early morning hours of January 1st, 07. Do you remember that night?
I think about it every night.
Something you vividly recall?
Absolutely.
Let's start with early in the evening, say 7:30, 8 o'clock that night. Where were you and what were you doing then?
7:30, 8 o'clock. Probably headed home from a game. I believe we had a game that night.
And did you have plans to go out for New Year's?
I did.
And what was your plan?
To go to a party that a couple of Broncos and Denver Nuggets were hosting.
And where was that party being hosted at?
Safari Nightclub.
And where is that located?
I believe Broadway.
Do you know the cross street on Broadway?
Broadway and 10th, maybe.
And who was hosting the party? Were you one of the hosts?
Yeah, I was one of the hosts.
What does it mean to be the host of a party?
I don't know what it means, but I guess, you know, they use certain people's name to, you know, draw attention to the event.
And because you're one of the hosts, do you get anything in return for hosting, having your name used for the party?
It depends. I mean, it could be, you know, they could pay some people, or they could, you know, free access, maybe a table in VIP.
This night at the Safari, do you recall what your understanding was of what benefit you'd get for hosting it, if any?
You know, the benefit I got was, you know, just, you know, free access. And a VIP table.
And when you say free access, I mean, that means you get in and don't have to pay a cover charge?
Yeah, just, you know, basically get in, no cover charge, and
okay,
put you in VIP.
Who did you go with that night? Safari.
In my car, there was Elvis Dumervil. There was Brian Barrington, my friend from Atlanta. My brother, Bijan Marshall. My cousin Blair Clark, and a neighbor, Mackenzie.
Where did you guys start the night? At your house?
I believe we may have went out to eat first, and then to my house, then to Safari.
So where did you hook up with the limo? At your house?
My house.
And then did you take the limo directly from your house to Safari?
Yes.
And what time approximately did you arrive at Safari? Do you remember?
About 11:45, 11:50. It was, right before New Year's hit.
When you got there, at whatever time it was, did you see a line that was outside?
It wasn't a line. It was just a big crowd. You know, there was just chaos.
No, I'm talking about before you go into the club.
Yeah.
There was chaos outside?
I mean, it was just, you know, it wasn't, like, organized. It was just a big crowd, you know.
Okay.
There wasn't no line.
Okay.
Just a bunch of people outside.
Okay. And as you were walking up to the front door, did anything unusual happen to you?
Well, you know, I had a group of guys with me, and, you know, I tried to get the attention of a bouncer. And, you know, I believe I said, I might have put my hand up or, you know, tried to get someone's attention. I may have knew that was at the door. And you know, he kind of put his hand up like, you know, wait 1 second. And I believe my words was, I was like, damn, you know, y'all put my name on the list and, I mean, y'all put my name on the flyer making money off my name and y'all going to, you know, leave me out here. And then the guy recognized who I was and he said, oh, my bad. And he came and got us or tried to get us through the crowd. And when that happened, the guy with dark glasses and a little hoodie, you know, he turned around and said, you know, we street niggas, you know, we got money, you ain't don't, we got money too. And you know, just, you know, being where I'm from, you know, trying to defuse a situation, you know, I said to him, I'm like, well, if I ain't the only one with money, then drinks on y'all tonight. You know, trying to make a joke. The guy with the glasses, you know, he didn't laugh. You know, he stayed serious. But the guy he was with had on a, like a, I described the jacket as like a, if you take a bandana and you make a jacket out of it, it was a blue bandana jacket. Okay. That's the best way I can describe it. And that guy, you know, he started laughing, and I, you know, he was actually kind of cool, right, you know, right then. You know, he said, well, what you drinking? And he was laughing a little bit, and I said, it doesn't matter, man, just meet me by the bar. And when as we were talking, the guy with the glasses, you know, he kept his frown on, and he was, you know, kind of serious. So
let's break that down a little bit, all right?
Yeah.
Where are you when this exchange happens? Are you walking into the front door, or where are you?
Walking in. Well, we're still trying to make our way to the front door.
So you're cutting through this big crowd that's out there?
Yes.
And the guy with the glasses, let's talk about him. Describe, you said he had a hoodie.
Yeah.
Describe that as best you remember it.
I remember the main color being dark, but it had so many different colors on it. And one color that stuck out, I believe, may have been like a purple lining in it or something. Not too sure about that, you know, okay. But I do remember it was a design jacket.
And you're sure it's a hoodie?
I'm pretty positive.
Let me approach and show you what's already been admitted into evidence as People's Exhibit 2. Ignoring for a minute the colors of that jacket, was the jacket that the man that was speaking to you wearing a jacket that was substantially similar to that?
Very similar.
So how would you describe the pattern on this People's Exhibit 2?
Army fatigue.
Camo.
Camo.
And is that what the guy was wearing? That kind of a design?
Not sure. I can't really say. I just remember a few colors on it.
Fair enough. You said he had glasses on.
Yeah.
Describe for the jury what those glasses look like as best you can recall.
Designer shades, very dark, kind of like, not huge, but, you know, kind of like just covering the eyes. And that's pretty much it, you know, just really dark.
You remember anything else about him being trimmed or the style?
No, I just remember dark black glasses.
Let's talk about him, how he appeared. What kind of hair did he have?
He had a short haircut, probably a little bit more hair than I have on my head now.
And what race was this person?
African American.
We've been saying that he's a man, so I take it he's a male.
Yes.
Approximate age?
Man, low 20s.
Did you say low 20s?
At the time, yep.
And how about how tall he was, as near as you could tell?
You know, I compared him to a teammate I had in college. He was pretty short, and that guy was probably around like 5'8", so that's how I made the distinction of, you know, the height. So I'm guessing around like 5'8", 5'9".
Okay. And what about his build or his physique? Did you make any observations about that?
At the time, you know, maybe a little chubby in the face a little bit.
You couldn't tell from his body, I take it, given the coat that you've described?
No, I really couldn't tell. You know, I just looked, you know, just by the face, you know, I, you know, looked a little chubby.
Okay. after the events of this night, and we'll come back and talk about all those events, ultimately about 10 or 12 hours after this all happened, you met with the police and you gave them a statement. Do you remember that on January 1st, 2007?
Absolutely.
And did you remember also at that time describing for the police this man that you just described for us?
Yes, sir.
And do you remember telling the police at that time whether or not you'd be able to identify him?
I told him I would be able to identify him right away.
And do you remember specifically in that interview at the 17 minute and 10 second mark, you say, "I know him for sure," that you could make an identification?
Yes.
And then later you had a second interview a few days later on the 8th of 07. You met again with the police. You remember that?
Yes.
And at that time you were shown additional photo lineups. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I'll show you what is marked as People's Exhibit 61. Are you familiar with that photocopy? Is that a
yes.
document that's familiar to you?
Yes.
And how is it that you can recognize that particular document?
My words and my signature.
That's your autograph right there on that document?
Yes.
Now, before the police showed you any photo lineups, and you were shown several, is that right?
A bunch of books.
And each time you were given the book, you were given these instructions, a lineup admonition, right?
Yes.
And they told you what you needed to do and what you shouldn't pay attention to and what you should pay attention to. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember them just going over the same thing over and over.
Right.
So,
did you understand the instructions?
Yes, I did.
And did you follow those instructions?
Yes, I did.
And when you looked at the lineups, did you do the best you could to make an identification?
Yes, I did.
On January 8th, 07, at about 1:30 in the afternoon, you were shown photo lineup E. Do you recall that?
Yes, sir.
And maybe you don't remember how they had them designated. Is that fair to say?
That's fair.
Let me show you what's been admitted into evidence as lineup photo array E. Do you see where that is?
Yes.
And in photo lineup array E, you selected a specific photo, didn't you?
Yes.
What number?
2.
Let me show you photograph 2 from photo array E. Is that the picture that you selected for police on January 8th, 2007?
That is the picture.
And publish. Yes. When you made that identification of this photo that we're showing to the jury, you then completed what they refer to as a photo identification report, the second half of this document, People 61. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And is this your handwriting there in the narrative section?
No, it isn't.
Whose handwriting is that?
Detective.
And did the detective take from you your words and memorialize them, put them down here almost verbatim?
Exactly. He made sure, you know, he said, "Well, I'm not trying to put any words in your mouth. Is this what you're trying to say?" And that's basically, you know, he took it right out of my mouth.
And put it down on this paper?
Put it on the paper.
And then you signed it, memorializing that that was your identification?
Yes, I did.
And that's the photograph, the man, that you selected?
Yes, it is.
And we're at the point in time now when we're talking about the guy outside who said, to quote him, "We street niggers and we got money too."
Yes.
When you made this identification for the police, did you have any difficulties in making that ID?
I just think it's unfair, you know, to put the wrong person behind bars, so I wanted to be sure. You know, if I pointed someone out, I wanted to be sure that, you know, it's the guy I saw. And it was kind of tough at first because, you know, the guy I saw had on glasses, you know, so probably, you know,
the
quarter of his face is gone. But I just wanted to make sure.
And is that what you told the police when you made that identification in your interview, specifically on 1-8 of 07 at the 2743 mark? You told the police officer it was difficult because the man had glasses on. Is that what you told him?
That's fair.
You also said it is difficult because he doesn't have the glasses on.
Yep.
But you told him that the physical attributes of this man in this photograph were like the man that said that to you.
Yes, sir.
I had moved for the admission of 61 and asked to publish that.
Any questions or objection?
Yeah, I can have to just take a look at it for a second.
Mr. Marshall, what you said when you were talking about this photograph is that this guy looks similar, right?
Yes.
Those were your words?
Yes. I also said his physical attributes matched the guy that I saw.
But they managed not to write that part down, right?
It's on the tape, though, I believe.
You agree with me that it doesn't say anything about physical attributes there?
No, it doesn't say anything on there.
You object and move to strike because it's not a statement of identification. A statement of similarity.
I will overrule that. Now it's up to the jurors to determine the weight to be afforded Mr. Marshall's testimony and the statements he made on the admonition form. It will be received over objection.
The identification that you made of that man was done on the 8th, a week after the fact.
Objection, Your Honor. Characterization. Courts just said, wait.
You can rephrase if you want to, but quite frankly, the jurors still know that the statements of lawyers are not themselves evidence.
All right, so this is what happens outside. This guy makes this comment to you. You also said when he made that comment, the other guy was kind of laughing, and the man with the glasses, the man in photograph number 2, was still kind of frowning. Is that what you said?
After he made that statement, he didn't say anything. You know, he seemed to be serious.
And do you remember telling the police that you thought that he had an attitude?
I mean, yeah, he had an attitude, you know, about a statement.
So I take it you go inside to Safari after this exchange outside?
Well, before I even went in, you know, after, you know, I tried to defuse it by, you know, offering drinks or whatever. I also told the bouncer, make sure those two guys get in and a couple of the guys, so, and then I went in.
As far as you know, did the bouncer hook those guys up and get him in, or did you just walk on in?
I mean, I had a bunch of guys, and I was just pointing at them like that, and I'm pointing 1, 2, 3, you know, get them in, you know, guys, you know, so.
So you pointed to the guy with the sunglasses that made the street niggers got money too comment.
I pointed at the guys, you know, the guy with the jacket and the guy with the glasses.
Who else was with the guy with the glasses, this guy in photograph number 2?
All I remember is, you know, he had on that jacket and he kind of looked a little mixed, you know, so.
What do you mean by mixed?
He didn't look black, you know, he was light skinned a little bit and curly hair. That's what I, you know.
Okay. Was there only those two together that you remember or you could tell that they were together?
That's the only two I remember.
Let's talk about the second guy, the light skinned guy. What was his approximate height, if you recall?
No. You know what? Really can't.
That's okay.
Put it.
What about his build or physique? Do you remember?
Skinny.
And other than that blue jacket that you described, do you remember any of his clothes?
I think he may have had a white t-shirt underneath.
What about pants?
I didn't know if they were khakis or, you know, like a suit pant, but they kind of khaki color.
Okay. And what about his approximate age? Could you tell about that?
He seemed like he was in his 20s, too, and, you know, maybe mid-20s.
Okay. Let's talk about getting inside the club.
Yep.
You went in there with the people you described that you'd come down in the limo with?
Yes, sir.
And did you all go together to VIP, or what happened once you got inside?
Once I got in, me and Elvis and my buddy from Atlanta went upstairs, and my cousin, my brother, and my neighbor, they went downstairs. That's where most of the people was. That's where probably you can say the party was.
Look, describe for the jury as best you recall kind of the layout of the Safari. When you first come in, get past the front door, and you're inside the club, that's where the party is? Is that where the dance floor is? Or
no, not exactly when you come in. I remember when I came in, I went to the ATM first, and it wasn't like the dance floor was right there. I think it was a little farther in the back.
Okay. When you're at the ATM, has the new year come in yet? Is it past midnight?
No, it hasn't.
Okay. And so you make your way to the VIP section. Is that upstairs, downstairs? Where was your VIP section?
Upstairs.
How many levels up was it, if you call?
I don't know. We were up there. I couldn't put it. It was a couple floors, maybe.
Okay, fair enough. And by the time you made your way to the ATM, had the new year come in yet?
No,
sir. Excuse me, to the VIP.
No, I believe being up there for maybe a few seconds, few minutes, and kind of getting situated, and then bringing in New Year's with a couple guys.
All right. While you were up there in the VIP section, did you see an argument or an altercation going on?
Well, if this is the VIP, it was kind of like the dance floor was there, and my section was probably towards the wall, and it was me and Elvis. And upstairs, there really wasn't that many people upstairs, especially where we were. Probably was like a big open space like this. And my table was there, and I was sitting with Elvis. And D. Will's table was probably on this end. And, me and Elvis just sitting there, and this is later on in the night. And I just remember looking up, and me and Elvis seeing two guys, a couple guys, and D. Wells and his party's face.
Let me interrupt you, just so we get a clear picture. Is the VIP section a walled off area, or is it open?
It's open. It's pretty much open.
Do they have velvet ropes that designated as the VIP section, or?
It was just like, a seating area, like a booth kind of,
Okay. So I take it you've got one booth table in the VIP section, and Darren Williams has another section.
Yes, sir.
When was the first time that night after the game, after you ate, that you laid eyes on Darren Williams?
When I first came up to VIP.
Okay. And you kept calling him D. Will. Is that the nickname you used for him?
Yeah.
And yes, we're talking about Darren Williams.
Darren Williams.
Okay. And Darren had some people with him, did you say?
Yes, he had a couple guys.
Did you know those people?
I may have ran. No.
Okay. But you knew that they were together with D. Will. How?
They all had on, their shirts. I believe, Darren was into music, and that was, his, a group that he had going. So they all had on similar T-shirts.
Gotcha. So you and Elvis are over in your section.
Yes.
VIP. Is anybody with you and Elvis at this point in time that you know was there?
No, it's just me. It's just me and Elvis at this time.
Okay. The rest of your party, can you account for their whereabouts at that moment in time?
No, I believe they were downstairs. That's where the party was.
Again, listen carefully to my question, because I'm asking you, can you account for them at
that
moment in time?
Okay. I cannot.
So you and Elvis are over there, and D. Will and his group's not far from you.
Yes.
And you see something that drew your attention.
Yeah, I just see a couple guys and Darren and his party's face, and they're like throwing up signs and just acting. They weren't like outrageously out of control. And I remember, Darren's friends, family, whoever it was, just kind of like just vibing a little bit to the music and really not paying them any attention, but not really backing down. Just like I remember Darren just dancing. He used to do this thing where he hold his chain and just dance a little bit, and so I mean it wasn't really that big of a deal, but me and Elvis ran over there and we kind of got in the way. And I think I got in the way of the skinny guy.
Let's back up. The guys that come into the VIP, not associated with D. Will, the other guys.
Yeah.
Who are these guys?
I believe it was the same guys from outside that I ran into.
You believe, or you know it was the same
guys?
Well,
I'm positive.
Okay, so when you say the same guys, you're talking about the guy with the hoodie and the glasses
Yes.
that made the street niggas comment?
Yes, sir.
And the other guy, the skinny guy that was with him out there?
Yes, sir.
It's those two?
Yes, sir.
Are there anybody else with them?
Well, I just remember I got in the way of the guy, the skinny guy, and Elvis, I believe, got in the way of the dark-skinned guy with the glasses. And, you know, I said, you know, my words was like, I'm like, man, we got all these bottles of champagne up here. You know, all these women. It's New Year's, man. Yeah, everybody chill out. It's not that serious. And I was like, man, just party with us. And the dark-skinned guy, I believe, told Elvis, you know, you get your homeboys. You tell them to chill out. And pretty much that was it, you know. And the party went on.
Let me ask you to square something up here for me. Your testimony is you're not really paying attention, but something over there draws your attention to it.
Yes.
With this guy with the glasses and the light-skinned guy. Mm-hmm. And it was such a commotion or such an event that it caused you and Elvis to hustle over there.
Well, I know it ain't a good situation when you have guys in their booth, their VIP section, and, you know, a couple guys in front of their face, like literally maybe a couple steps and throwing up signs, what appeared to be signs.
And when you say signs, what are you talking about?
I mean, you know, you could throw up a gang sign, where you from.
And that's what you took those actions to mean?
Yes, sir.
And the dark-skinned guy wearing the sunglasses, he was doing that up there?
Yes, sir.
You step in and tell him to chill out. Mm-hmm. What's D. Will's reaction?
Darren is just, though. Darren and his party, they're pretty much like, they came off like, you know, we're bigger than this, you know, like, you know, they were just dancing. They were just, you know, they weren't stepping up in anybody's face. It was just more like, you know, like, man, please.
Do you know from your firsthand knowledge, personal observations, or what you heard, what caused that altercation between the guys from out front and D. Will's party?
I do not know.
Did you see, Brandon Marshall, did you see any champagne being sprayed?
No, I mean, where Darren's section was, there was nobody there. I'm saying, if this is VIP, the next person may be to where this table is here, you know, so. No, I didn't see any champagne.
Yeah, that's my question. All right, did you see it?
Yeah.
That's all right. If you don't understand my question, let me know.
No, I didn't see any champagne.
I'll give you a better question, okay? So, how did the guy in photograph number two and the light-skinned guy leave from up in the VIP section?
You know, after you know, everything kind of died down a little bit, you know, that was pretty much the end of it. You know, they just walked away or, you know, stepped back, and the party went on.
Did you see any security guards arrive up there at that point?
Not at all.
It didn't happen or you didn't see it?
I didn't see the security.
So what did you do the rest of the night up there?
Honestly, you know, I had my little section and it was just me and Elvis, and at times Elvis would, you know, walk around, and I just kind of just stayed in my little section. And, you know, sometimes I may go over to Darren's table every once in a while. I believe Kenyon Martin's table was right across, and I spoke to them for a couple seconds. So pretty much just stayed in that little area.
Hanging out, socializing, is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, that's fair.
How much did you have to drink that night, Mr. Marshall?
I couldn't put a number on it, but I had something to drink.
Can you put a qualify it with, if I ask you, what was your level of intoxication that night? How drunk, if at all, were you?
I wasn't drunk at all, you know.
So, I take it you stay at Safari till the club closes?
Yeah, you know, well, just, you know, if I don't leave early, you know, I try to be the last to leave. And
why?
Just for security reasons. And that's always, you know, not just because of that night. Honestly, I forgot about, you know, the incident outside and even the incident inside the club. You know, I thought that was over. And, you know, so what I did is, I couldn't find my brother, my cousin, and my neighbor. But my buddy from Atlanta was upstairs, Brian, at the time. And I'm like, man, I'm just going to let everything clear out and be, you know, we'll leave later. I remember staying upstairs and just kind of mingling. I believe I was talking to a young lady. And we were talking for a while, and then the guy was like, hey, it's time to go. And I kind of tried to buy time, but eventually they pushed me, end up like forcing me downstairs. And when I got downstairs, when I ran into Javon Walker, that's the first time I saw him the whole night. You know, we've been texting and, you know, trying to get together, but that's the first time I saw him. And Javon was like, he was like, B, you know, where are we going after this? I said, man, it doesn't matter, it's whatever. And he's like, I got a bunch of girls with me. And I said, well, I got a small, you know, limo, but, man, we can, you know, lap up. We can make it work, you know, ride with me. Javon didn't want to drive. He's been drinking. But then he said, man, before we leave, man, I want to introduce you to, I believe he said, the owner. So we walk over there, and we end up sitting in this little booth talking to the owner, manager, whoever it was at the time, chit-chatting a little bit, and then we end up walking out. And I, when I walked out, I saw my brother. I saw my brother's girlfriend's sister, and I began to talk to her.
And is this outside the club, actually outside the front door?
It's like right in the doorway.
Right, let me hold you for a second. You said that you were waiting back, letting it kind of clear out. Are you familiar with what goes on at the time that's commonly referred to as the let out?
Well, I mean, yeah, you call it let out, but, you know, I mean, when I was in high school, middle school, we called it kind of like parking lot pimping.
And that's exactly how you described it to the police, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a corny term, but, you know, it just sums it up.
Explain to the people that haven't been at the let out or done any parking lot pimping, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, when you, when a club is over, usually, you know, everybody is inside, whether it's 300,000-400,000 people is pretty much outside in the parking lot or in the street. And, you know, usually, you know, there may be an incident inside, maybe have nothing to do with you. And, you know, a fight may break out or, you know, even, you know, gunshots and, you know, be innocent bystander and can be in the middle of it. So, you know, it's basically the party from goes from outside to inside until the cops force you to leave. And, you know, it's pretty much a dangerous situation.
And you wanted to have none of that?
Nah.
All right, let's talk about when you stepped outside of the club.
Yes.
What did you see? Well, let me back up. I forgot to ask you a question. You came down to the safari in a limo?
Yes, sir.
Can you describe that limo?
It was a white Lincoln Town Car.
Ultimately, did you see the limousine that Darren Williams came in?
Yes, it was right out front.
And what type of limousine was that?
A white Hummer.
What was the difference between D. Will's limo and the limo you had?
Mine was a little car. Darren's was a big Hummer.
Significant difference?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go back to you stepping out onto the sidewalk.
Yep.
Describe for the ladies and gentlemen what you see right when you walk out, what's going on.
Well, the first thing I see is my brother's girlfriend's sister, and I begin to talk to her. But immediately after that, I see my cousin Blair Clark kind of like walking away, putting his hands up, and a couple of females behind him like yapping. And I remember, you know, first thing I thought about was like, man, like what the hell? Like what's the problem? Like, you know, why is there an issue? Pretty much mad at Blair, but I didn't know what was going on.
Okay, so where did you go or what did you do?
I kind of stayed there and I talked to her for a little bit, and then I remember walking, you know, going to the limo.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Have you had an opportunity for meeting with the detectives and recently to review a video from a security camera that shows the outside of the safari club?
Yes.
From your memory and also having your memory jogged reviewing that video, did that help about what events were going on out there?
I mean, you know, it was 3 years ago, so I'm sure it helped. But, you know, I remember all the events quite well.
Do you specifically recall here today, as you're under oath before this jury, at what time you were standing where or who you talked to or where you moved to, that sort of thing?
No, I can't. No.
So you move outside, what's going on?
I mean, basically everybody who's inside is outside. I mean, it's just a party outside on the sidewalk. And
did you become aware of an altercation that was going on outside?
Yeah, well, as I began to walk to the limo, you know, I see my cousin and a guy who was with Darren, maybe one of his friends or something, arguing. And
Your cousin Blair is arguing with one of Darren Williams' friends,
yeah,
is what you saw?
They're arguing. I remember me and Darren, man, we together, you know? Just trying to, like, you know, like, what are y'all doing, man? We came together. We, what's going on?
Sure.
And Darren's friend, you know, after Darren was like, you know, chill, he kind of went off, and Blair was kind of like, you know, like, man, you know, I'm like, kind of still mad, you know, and I'm like, man, what's the problem? And Blair just kept saying stuff like, man, he cursing a little bit, but really just saying like, man, I think I'm with them or something like that. And we end up, you know,
Getting that straightened out.
And then I just remember, you know, guys across the snowbank on the sidewalk, you know, throwing up signs or whatever.
All right, let me hold you there at that point in time. Where are you positioned relative to the sidewalk and the guys that are throwing up the gang signs?
Well, there's Darren's limo, the Hummer, and there's another car, or maybe two cars, and then my limousine. And I'm right in between Darren's Hummer and the car, the first car. That's where the incident between my cousin and Darren's friend, where they were just arguing a little bit.
When you step out of the Safari Club, and if you were to turn to the left, do you know which direction that is, north or south or east or west?
Oh, man. Which way is headed to Colorado Springs?
South.
South would be north, I believe.
Okay. So you are north of the front door when you make this observation?
Yes, if you go out, make a left.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
So I believe that is north, okay. Yeah.
Broadway's a one. Tell me if this helps you in orienting yourself. Broadway's a one-way street that goes south.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Well, I was north.
Okay. Were you past further north from the front door, further north of Darren Williams' limousine when this was going on, or not?
It was right behind the limousine, like right beside, like it. That limousine's here. Just the limousine. We was right here.
Okay. See some guys throwing up some more gang signs.
Yep.
Who are these guys?
It was the same guys and maybe a few other guys that I didn't recognize or I didn't see before. And yeah, same guys.
And what was your reaction to all this commotion, this ruckus that's going on?
Well, this is when I got angry a little bit, you know. And my first words were, like, God damn, man, I didn't offer you guys drinks twice tonight. You know, I didn't offer you know what I mean, party with us. And, I'm kind of going back and forth. We start yapping a little bit.
Were you thinking this in your head, or did you say this out loud?
No, I'm saying this out loud.
Do you remember anybody at that point in time yelling anything along the lines of bitch-ass niggers?
I mean, there was a lot of cursing, a lot of words being exchanged. And, there was a big old snowbank in between us. And when it really started getting out of hand is when, you know, one of the guys, you know, the guy with the black glasses on, it seemed like he didn't have a gun, you know, and he kind of like lifted up his shirt like he had a gun. And then I made the comment saying, man, you ain't got no damn, I said, man, you ain't got no fucking gun. That's what I said. And then he put his hand, put his jacket, and he put his hand in his jacket like this, like simulating a gun.
You don't know if it was a gun?
I don't know if it was a gun or not, but I assumed that he didn't have a gun because he was just holding up his shirt and I didn't see anything.
The guy that's simulating the gun.
Yep.
Same guy that made the comment about street niggas have money too?
Same guy.
Same guy.
Outside the club to inside the club to afterwards.
So this is the third run-in you've had with this guy.
Third.
And that's the guy you identified in photograph number two.
Yes, sir.
So that's what really kicked things off? Turn up the heat at that point or what?
Yeah, I kind of got angry at the time and probably escalated the situation, but I was just so angry that, you know, the whole night, I mean, it's New Year's, you know, we're trying to defuse the situation, trying to have fun. It really wasn't that big of a deal. And, you know, for it to still be going on afterwards and thought it was over, kind of got angry.
Sure. During this time when that man is simulating the gun, did you at any point lift up your shirt or show that you were unarmed too?
No, I don't believe so, no.
Okay. Did you at any point make any gestures to these people?
I'm sure I did.
Do you recall what that was?
No.
So what do you do then? You say, show up, man, you ain't got no gun. What do you then do?
Well, then, you know, they start, you know, like, I mean, people everywhere, and they just start really getting out of hand. And then, like, you know, there's people trying to grab me. There's people grabbing them. And, you know, at one point, I tried to get over the snow, and I slipped. And that's when I slipped, the skinny guy, mixed guy, that's when he threw a punch when I slipped and hit me in my my jaw, I believe.
That event where you're going up the snowbank and you get struck, from your review of the video, can you tell when or where that happened?
That was north of the door and, you know, right behind the limousine.
Let me ask it a different way. Did you see that on the video, that you getting punched?
No, I did not see that.
Is it because it's out of camera angle, or you just didn't see it?
I mean, you can't even see it. It's out of camera.
So you got the two dudes from the front door, the guy with the glasses and the guy with the blue coat.
Mm-hmm.
Same guys inside. They're together on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
And you thought that there was other people that may or may not have been involved with them?
Yeah, there was a couple girls. There was a couple guys. And I just remember arguing with, you know, the guys that I seen all night, you know, and this guy's coming out of everywhere.
Do you know where the man with the glasses that simulated the gun was when you slipped on the snowbank and the other guy took a cut at you?
He was kind of like standing back, and he, you know, kind of, you know, had his hand in his shirt, in his jacket, you know. So he was like right behind the snowbank, but probably like in the middle of the sidewalk.
A few feet away?
Yeah, a few feet away.
A lot of commotion going on out there. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, a lot of commotion.
Did you notice a man out there wearing a white mink?
Yes.
And could you tell whether or not he was associated with the man with the glasses and the skinny guy?
I couldn't tell, but it just stood out because, I mean, it's a white mink, a white fur coat.
After the swing on you, what happened next?
Guys just scattered, you know.
Which guys?
All the guys we were arguing with just ran.
Did guys go all in one direction? Some go south, some go north?
You know, I really couldn't tell you exactly which guys went which way, but I just remember, like, man, it's time to get out of here.
Fair enough. But do you remember those guys separating at all or not?
No, I mean, a bunch of guys went one way, you know, and then after that, it was just...
Okay. So what did you do then after these guys scattered?
After that happened, you know, we tried to get everybody in the limos. And,
why? Why at that point? Why not earlier or sooner?
Again, you know, being from where I'm from, you know, growing up in the neighborhood that I grew up in, you know, if there ain't no police there breaking up no fight or an argument and guys take off, you know, pretty much, you know, a flag should go off, you know, a light should go off, I mean, danger.
Did a light go off for you?
It definitely did. The first thing I thought about was, man, you know, these guys is running, you know, he's acting like he have a gun, maybe running to go get a gun, you know.
So that caused you to say, let's go, guys.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
And did you do that?
Yeah, I mean, we took a while to pretty much put everybody in the limos, but we got in the limo, and we didn't throw any punch or anything. You know, no, I didn't touch anybody. No one from Darren's party touched anybody. No one from my party touched anybody.
When you say that you saw.
That, right? I saw.
Right. Yeah. And would it be fair
talking about as far as throwing any punches?
Yeah, I'm with you. But, you know, you can't testify to this jury about things you didn't see, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And when you were going up that snowbank,
punches
might have been thrown.
Well, no, I mean, a punch was thrown at me. I'm talking about from our side, no one threw a punch.
Okay.
So when we got in the limo, you know, it was pretty much like, God, man, we got out of that one, you know, like, what the hell was going on? Everybody kind of calmed down a little bit and, you know, took off.
Did you at any point in that night get into that Hummer limo?
You know what, I think when we first came out, might have like, you know, jumped in just to check it out, but I really can't. I wasn't in there, but I checked it out.